The words of God given to us today are Revelations chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. It is page 402 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the names of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen." Now, Prophet Isaiah received the call at the time of King Uzziah and served until the time of King Hezekiah. It was during an era in which the national power reached its height to the extent of the times of reign of David and Solomon. After Solomon died, Israel became divided into south and north. Among the 12 tribes, 10 belonged to the north, and only two, Judah and Benjamin, belonged to the south. So south was bound to be weaker in power. In South Judah, there were altogether 20 kings. That the nation became powerful starting from the time of Uzziah, which was the 10th king, until the time of King Hezekiah. The national power reached its peak at the time of Hezekiah, and after that, it steeply declined because the nation became strong during the time of Uzziah. The people of Judah came to enjoy economic prosperity that they hadn't experienced before. But although there was economic prosperity on the outside, their faith became more and more corrupt. Of course, sacrifices were offered regularly at the times that they were required, and yet their hearts became more and more distant from loving God and serving God and seeking after pleasure and extravagant lifestyle became more and more prevalent. And because of this, their relationship with God was becoming more and more tattered. The people of Judah seemed like they were alive on the outside, but their insides were like people who were dead. And as the king of Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria rose as a new man of power, tension filled the region, and the direction of international politics took on a different urgency. The prophet Isaiah was called by God at the temple in these circumstances. Prophet Isaiah, however, did not receive promise from God that his work would be successful from the world's point of view, or that the people of Judah will come back to God because he received a calling from God. Actually, it was the opposite. As God sent Isaiah as a prophet, he said this in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 to 10. He said, "Go and tell this people, listen hard, but you aren't going to get it. Look hard, but you won't catch on. Make these people blockheads with fingers in their ears and blindfolds on their eyes so they won't see a thing, won't hear a word, so that they won't have a clue about what's going on, and yes, so they won't turn around and be made whole." It's a totally disconcerting kind of a call. God is saying to Isaiah that you should go and preach my words with passion, but they won't be able to understand, even if they hear it, won't be able to understand, although they see, and their minds will become dull so that they won't feel a thing. Even worse, he said that they won't turn around and be made whole. But this is speaking in non-literal terms. It's like a parent saying to a son who is a high school student who hangs out with bad friends and keeps spending nights outside, if you're going to keep on doing this, don't ever come home. It's better that you're not around. Now, if the son says, okay, and does not come home, it would really hurt the parents even more. To say that don't come home is no way a much stronger plea than saying come home and try to live a right life. Now Isaiah chapter 6:13 tells us about how God leads his people, although they may live a fallen life and rebel against God, and what kind of people God uses as a pathway of his works. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land. God is saying that even when 9/10 of the people of Judah die off and only the 1/10 remains, even then people will rebel against God, and the remaining people too will disappear gradually. In actuality, Judah, until it became the captives of Babylon, continually betrayed God and lived a history of rebellion against God. But the reason for hope, although Judah seems like it was totally ruined, was with the people who are like the holy seeds who have been preserved by God and sprout and bear fruits of life like stumps of tamarind and the oak from which new sprouts can come. Because of these people of God, flowers can bloom at places where everything looked dead, like a wasteland. And the rivers can flow in places that have completely dried up. The beating heart of life can be felt again. When King Uzziah ruled, the people of Judah had material abundance, and they kept to religious rituals faithfully, but God said, you are only walking around my yard. Although people of Judah may have thought that they were spiritually alive, God saw them as being dead. People of Judah then were like the people of the Church of Sardis 850 years later. Sardis was the place where the world's first coins were made, and they had uncanny economic sense. On top of that, the gold that came from Pectorius River that went through the city gave the city enormous wealth. It was also the largest market for wool and dye in Asia Minor. Now, despite such urban environment, the Church of Sardis was pretty active. People recognized it as, oh, that church. If there had been a survey about which church would shine in Asia Minor 10 years later, without a doubt, the Church of Sardis would have been on the list. But the assessment of the Lord was very different. The later part of verse 1 testifies as follows. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. The people thought that Church of Sardis was a church that fit its reputation. But the Lord shook his head and said that it was great in his name only. But the Lord did not want the Sardis church to remain dead. These are the words that Lord gave in order to revive the church. This is the testimony of verses 2 and 3. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. In verses 2 to 3, there are five verbs that give commands. Wake up, strengthen, remember, hold it fast, and repent. Now, we thought about what wake up and strengthen mean in detail last week. About remembering, the Lord is saying that they should recall how they received and how they heard. What the Lord wanted Sardis Church to think about was how they got started. Remembering the beginning is the best way to revive one's faith and the relationship with God. I recall when the Lord first met me in 1981 when I was a freshman in high school. The Lord embraced me, who was not an object of attention by anyone. And I clearly remember the time when the Lord said that he would use a person like me as his servant. And I remember in 1992, the time when I first started as a pastor in education ministry. If our faith has become dull, or if it's at the depth and has fallen into a sleep like death, then let's think about how we first received the words of God and how we came to open our eyes to eternal life. We will then experience the grace of Spirit coming alive again. It's like between couples whose relationship is in name only but is dead. If there are such couples, let's recall how the partner had first received me and what the partner meant to me in the beginning. Then you will recall how you were happy, although you had far less than what you have now, and how you resolved to go through whatever that may come your way, as long as your partner was with you. And you will experience how your hearts will come alive again. Now, to hold fast and repent are words that have special meaning for the people of Sardis. The literal meaning of repent, which is metanoia in Greek, means to change one's thinking, to change one's mind. And as a result of this, changing one's life. As I mentioned 2 weeks ago, Sardis had been occupied twice in the past. The first was by the King Cyrus of Persia, and the other time was by Antiochus the Great by Seleucid Empire. Sardis was located at the high plain, 450 meters above the sea level. Behind it was Mount Tremulous, and its sides were, the two sides of the city were made up of very steep cliffs. And so at the time when there was no air force which attack with combat planes, the city was virtually unassailable. But it could not be kept safe because the people did not stay awake. They became complacent and thought the city was unassailable. They could not change their thinking that although that there were, if they were occupied once, they could be occupied again. And because of this complacency, the city became seized again. This was the same for the Church of Sardis. Like the city of Sardis that became a ruin after being seized, the Church of Sardis became captive to Satan and became a ruin. Like the soldiers of Sardis who thought that this city is unassailable so no one could come to attack and ended up losing. Christians may think that my faith is good enough. What these Christians must remember are the words of the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 12. So, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. If we do not stay awake this way, the Lord says that he will come like a thief in the night, the way that the armies of Persia and Seleucid came in the middle of the night for Sardis. There is an old Latin saying which says that the gods walk in feet that are wrapped in wool, meaning that all things happen without a noticeable sound. To people who are awake, who strengthen the faith and remember the beginning of their faith, who keeps to it and who renews his or thoughts and the way of thinking each moment, the word like a thief will not have much meaning. But those who are not able to be like that, the coming of the Lord will always feel like a thief, although of course the Lord is not a thief. But even for the church, which thought that it was alive, but which was dead in the sight of the Lord, there was a ray of hope. Verse 4 testifies as follows. Yet, you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. There were a few people in the Church of Sardis who had not soiled their clothes. The word soiled in Greek means meluno. And this word comes from the word melas, which means black. Now most people in Sardis church put on a mask and pretended a life of faith, like people who were clothes that were soiled black, but were pretending that they were wearing clean white clothes. But there were a few who actually wore unsoiled clothes, white clothes, and kept to their face silently. These were the people who were like the stumps at the time of Isaiah received a calling at the time of King Uzziah. People like the holy seeds. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, the massive and rough waters of secular values sweep through the world. People think that one can build up a good life without God. That living without God is living as a free person. And that culture and civilization without God benefit people more. And so to human beings, God always becomes an object of hindrance, an object of no importance to men. So many people, like the Church of Sardis, wear soiled clothes and float along the currents of the world. A fish, which is dead, whether it's small or big, cannot but flow along with the river. In this way, so many people of the world focus only on their greatness or smallness, think only about the price of the clothes that they're wearing, and flow down the currents of the river that is the world, not knowing whether they are dead or alive. But like a living fish that swims against the rough and chaotic flow of the river, there are people who swim against the current of secular values, wearing unsoiled clothes. These are the people that God has kept. During the time of Prophet Elijah, reigned in that camp for 3 years, Prophet Elijah said to King Ahab that unless he opened his mouth, not one dewdrop, let alone rain, would come. And after saying this, he had to go on the run and had to survive on the bread and meat which a crow delivered to him. The reason that there was drought at Israel at that time was because the people of Israel did not serve God in the right way. Elijah told King Ahab together 400 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah who ate at the table of Queen Jezebel to Mount Carmel. He proposed that he would match these prophets 850 to 1 and that they should serve God who answered the God who answered the prayers. The prophets who actually showed up were 400 prophets of Baal. When Elijah prayed, God gave great rain. And it seemed that the match ended with Elijah's victory. But this time, Queen Jezebel tried to kill him. And Elijah ran away for 40 days and hid at the Mount Horeb. God then asked Elijah, Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. And this is what God spoke to Prophet Elijah, according to verses chapter 18, verse 18 of 1 Kings chapter 9. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed unto Baal and whose mouth have not kissed him. The people who had not kissed Baal, these were the people who were like the stumps, people of holy seeds, and who had not soiled their clothes. The time of Prophet Elijah was when the people of Israel lived in material wealth that King Ahab had brought and had turned their backs on God, falling into idol worship brought by Queen Jezebel. So although the people of Israel had the reputation of being alive, they were like people who are dead. Prophet Elijah, too, thought that he was the only person alive who kept to God. But God said, that he had prepared people for him, and that he would continue his works through them. And Prophet Isaiah also professed in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9, that unless the Lord Almighty had left us some survivors, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. In the past, present, and in the future, the works of God has and will unfold mysteriously and fantastically through the people who God has kept for himself, the holy seeds, the people who have not soiled their clothes. At the time when people lived to the average age of 800, Enoch lived a short life of 350 years. But his life lived with God for 300 years after the birth of his son, Methuselah, at the age of 65, stands out more than the life of any person. When the sins of people fill the world, and everything they thought were evil, God suffered in his heart to the extent of regretting creating human race. But through Noah, who did not soil his clothes and who lived righteously before God and was blessed by God, God renewed the human race. And as a pathway to send Jesus Christ to the world, God used the family of Abraham. And so that family became the holy seed that started the family tree of Jesus Christ. Not only that, Moses, Samuel, David, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and other prophets were all holy stumps of God. And people who were prepared by God, who had not soiled their clothes during the time of Old Testament, God continued his work through them. In New Testaments, we see the apostles, the Apostle Paul, Stephen, Philip, Luke, Timothy, and Epaphroditus, or people like Lydia, Aquila and Priscilla, a couple. These were people who lived without soiling their clothes. When we look back on the 2,000-year history of the church, we see that God does not work through people who has power or who has great wealth. He always made flower of life bloom and renew the world through people who do not soil their clothes. Right now, the Korean society is going through a turmoil due to ideological differences, class differences, and generational conflicts. There does not seem to be a clear answer to any of them, and as to who can resolve these conflicts and how they can be resolved. These conflicts will not be resolved just by shouting catchphrases to get rid of them. Because people are basically selfish, it is not possible to make law that satisfies everyone. But what we can trust, the one thing in which we can trust, is that in politics, finance, social, cultural, and educational, and in other spheres, God will purify and bring light to this land through people he has preserved for himself, who have not soiled their clothes. The Korean church, like Sardis Church, looks dead, although it may have a reputation of being alive. It is criticized as no longer being the salt and the light of this world. But even so, God will revive it through people who have not bowed to secular values called Baal or kissed it. The 7,000 who have not soiled their clothes. Do you think perhaps that the family you belong to is in name only, but feels like it is dead and the relationships are broken? If so, then you are the very person that God kept for himself, the holy seed. If you do not soil your clothes and fix your eyes on the Lord, you will get to see the Lord restoring your family. Would you now live on as the place where you happen to be, as the few who have not soiled their clothes? Let us pray. Although there are all kinds of conflicts in this world, and no matter how Korean church is criticized, and even our lives have been torn in many ways, we can live with hope because God is someone who preserves the holy seeds for the stumps. God who keeps 7,000 who have not bowed or kissed Baal. Thank you for reminding us that the Church of Sardis lived not because of its reputation of being alive, but because of people who did not soil their clothes and was worthy. May we not run towards the reputation of being alive, but walk towards a life in which our clothes will not be soiled. May we not only regret that there are dark parts in our society, that there are polluted parts in the churches, but that we belong to the majority which have soiled their clothes, rather than belonging to the few who have not soiled their clothes. May all of us, by living a life as people who have not soiled their clothes, experience the restoration of families to which we belong, experience our workplaces becoming purified and brighter, and experience the restoration of the Korean church. May this be truly so. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.